Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Fire, God's worthy of our worship. They're going to lead us in worship. Turn yourself loose. Don't come up here with no weird religious ideas. Ain't nobody came here because their life is right. If you did, you're at the wrong church. That's somewhere else. This is the church where we need God's help because we're all here because we're not all there. If you catch my drift. Right? This isn't pomp and circumstance. This is a Savior saving sinners. And no more, no less. If you want to be a really grown up, growed out, spiritual person, praise God. But you can't do that without Jesus either. So we're just dependent on Jesus. My name's John, by the way, for y'all looking at me because I shaved my face off and I look like old Levi. And I look like old Levi in my old Levi's. And good to see y'all this morning. Let's praise God. Are y'all ready? Amen. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. There's no one worth talking about that's more worth talking about than you. No one. And so, Father, as we gather here and we sing your praises, we talk on your word, we speak in your name, Father, I just pray that you would bless us and be with us and grow us in the likeness of our Lord Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
let y'all, but that's good news this morning, that we don't have to come here cleaned up, that we come here just like we are, and He does the cleaning. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible's very clear about the love of Jesus. Everybody here probably has at least heard this or seen reference to it. John 3:16 says, "But for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall not
perish,
but have eternal life." Y'all, that love of God is what keeps us going. That love of God, knowing that He loved us. Didn't have to, but He wanted to. That's what we're singing about this morning.
Hi.
hasn't hit me the way it just did, the recollections. And I don't have time to keep these regrets. And I'm terrible with lyrics. Retain. Yes. Don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves. Isn't love a good thing? Do y'all like love? Do you love love? Love is a good thing. And here's the good news. A lot of times, if the romance story was the guy died for the girl, that's a terrible ending. I mean, think about it. She's alone. Y'all tracking with me? I'm sorry. I'm messing with the Lifeway movie channel. But if the guy dies for the girl, she's alone. That's all he's done for her. If I die for Candace, she's husbandless. Don't clap. Chill out. If I die for Candace, I've done everything I can do for her. But the love story of Christ and his bride, the church, does not end that way. The love story of Christ and his church is he died for her, and it's only just begun. I love the way Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, he says it like this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We know that he loved us. We know that he died for us. But praise God, church, we have a resurrected king who lives for us. So when we're here this morning, we're not singing about some hypothetical hope. We're singing for the hope that is at the right hand of the Father, the Lamb standing as though slain, Jesus Christ, our living hope. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin.
seal the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
All right, 90s class, are y'all ready? Ready to break. Look at them pretty little Easter eggs. I don't know why they remind me of Easter eggs. They're just always colorful dressed and pretty. You know, they just go off into the class. 90s class, ready? There they go. Hey, praise God for our youngins. Man, it don't matter if it's them youngins or if it's the crazy teenager youngins. Praise God for our. Praise God for the whole church family. All the ages, right? Because I promise... Y'all tell me what y'all think. But I bet you can find a whole bunch of churches, dozens, that have been cursed with no kids. And ain't nothing wrong with us old folks. But if it's only old folks, that ain't right neither. You know what I'm saying? We ought to be thankful for all our kiddos. And so we do that. Y'all, we've been preaching through the Gospel of John. And just a chapter at a time. And we're going to be in John chapter 8 today. But we're going to be in John chapter 8 next week too. Because John chapter 8 is just too big for me. I couldn't get my mind around the whole deal of it. So I'm breaking it down into different things. So we're going to do John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. It's a familiar story to us. So hear it fresh, and see what God will say to you through His Word. John 8, 1 through 12. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" They said, Now they said this, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear. So they continued asking him, and he raised himself up. He said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And then again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up, he saw no one but the woman. He said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be, we get to be here to sing your praises, to sing of your grace, to sing of your name and of the victory you won for us over the grave, over sin, over judgment. You've won all that for us, and we've got to praise you this morning. Now, Father, help us to set it in the firm foundation of Scripture that we really might live without the regrets, that we'd really not put any effort into beating ourselves up or dragging around things that you've died for. That we'd let you have it all. That we'd be honest with you. That we'd come out of the darkness and walk in the light with you. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I don't know if this sounds weird. If it does, that's okay. But I hope somebody might get saved today. It's just one of those things. You're like, "John, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to sneak up on people." Well, here I am. Sneaking up, 6'2", 300 and some pounds. I'm not real sneaky. I hope you get saved today because I'm going to talk about people having their sin and coming and being honest about it to Jesus Christ. And you know what happens when you're honest to Jesus Christ about your sin? What can happen? You can get saved. Man, I know when we walk in, there's groups of people, a group of people this large, there's somebody who's holding out. Thinking that somehow they're going to find out the master plan to figure out a way around their sin without just coming to Jesus, putting their hands in there and said, "I did it. I'm the sinner. You caught me. Have mercy on me." Wouldn't that be cool if somebody got saved today? Anyways, those are just the thoughts in my mind. I don't usually share that out loud. I think every time I preach, I think somebody could get saved. Why not? Right? Somebody isn't here going, "Is it me? Is it me?" Yeah, it's you, man. Come on. You can say it anyways. Just think about that. But this is one of them sermons where we start looking at what does it mean to get real with Jesus? And y'all, just walking in the light with Him. It's a beautiful thing. I don't think it's like what we think. Especially if we come from a really heavy church mindset. You come from a church mindset, your goal is to not let anybody know that you got any sin. We get in this weird thing like when you show up to church, you've shown up because you think you got it together. People come to church because they're like, "This is what I do because I'm spiritually mature." Well, that's fine. That's cool. You ought to come to church. You ought to make the effort, discipline yourself, get into the habit. I get all that. But can I tell you something? Come to church don't win you no heaven points. There's no coupon that you're going to get here that you can use that, you know, turn in at the pearly gates. You know, tell them you came to this church. No. Man, eventually you're going to have a face-to-face meeting with Jesus about your sin. If you haven't had that, where can you go? Can I tell you, eventually every single person in the world, every person in the universe is going to have a face-to-face meeting with Jesus. It's on the books. It's scheduled. It's appointed unto man, wants to die, and then the judgment to meet the man. That's everybody's case. It's just that in this life, some people put all their energy in pretending they ain't got none. Sin, that is. And other folks say, "You caught me." And they just come in, ask for mercy. Be that group. Right? Christ Community, we emphasize that second group. Let's talk about two groups of sinners, actually, while we're at it. It's on your handout. If you have a handout, This is what keeps me honest as a preacher. If you don't have one, we can get you one, $5, and we'll get you one of these right quick. And this is the outline, so you just don't think, man, he's just talking off the top of his head. I'm not talking off the top of my head. I thought about it. I wrote it off the top of my head, you know, just this morning. But anyway, two types of sinners I want to talk about. One is what I call real, honest to goodness sinners. Real, honest to goodness sinners. All right, let's look at that group first. And representing that group is going to be this woman. This woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Caught in adultery in the very act. Which means there was no place for her to hide. There was no way for her to like try to say, it wasn't me. You know, there's a rap song out there, so it wasn't me. Wasn't me. No, it was you. You know what I'm saying? This was you, Shaggy. We caught you. Yeah, this is it. You know what I'm saying? You were in the act. There's nowhere to hide from your sin. Ain't no sense in trying to deny it, hide it, rationalize it, blame it on somebody else. It was them. It was their fault. It was just, don't matter at this point. It was you. You got two choices when you find out it's you. You got the choice to own it and ask for forgiveness, or really just shun Jesus and say, I don't need any of this, and run off and hide. Okay? But can I tell you, there's a great benefit to being an honest-to-goodness sinner. If you've come to understand that you've sinned against the Lord God, there's a great benefit to you simply going, yep, it was me, Lord, and I want to be rid of it. I want to come and ask mercy from you. I don't want there to be anything between us that's hidden or dark or any of those things. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to name it, and I'm going to lay it at your feet. I want you to take it from me, man. I don't need nothing else. An honest to goodness sinner. They're almost rare to meet in a church culture. Most of the time, you meet somebody in a church culture and say, man, do you know Jesus Christ, or are you a sinner bound to hell? And they go, whoa, 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 wait a minute, man. They ain't going to say they're born again, but they ain't going to say they're not. They're going to say, my uncle was a preacher, and my grandmama went to the Baptist church for years. And they're going to say all kind of stuff, crawfishing, trying to act like something is good enough. I did something good when I went to VBS. Oh, yes, I did. I went to VBS. You're like, wow, that's amazing. Why did Jesus come and die for us if we could all just go to VBS and get an uncle to be a preacher for us? Man, that sounds like a lot easier way to go. But to find an honest to goodness sinner, y'all listen to me, God knows the sin of every human being, every soul, everyone, period. There ain't no sense in us trying to hide anything from Him. If you don't got Him, if you don't got Jesus, just say it. Say it to you. Say it to God. You ain't got to say it to me. You don't got to say it to anybody else, but acknowledge that between you and your God, that y'all ain't right yet, that you haven't bowed the knee yet, that you're playing a church game still. Be an honest to goodness sinner. Y'all, not that sin's good for us. This woman was caught in adultery. So what do you think was going on with her husband? What was going on with her children? What was going on with her home? It was going to be bad for her. Right? This is not a good... I'm not suggesting that we embrace our sin in the sense of saying, it's okay, it's going to be all right. I'm saying, embrace the fact that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Don't try to hide it. Don't do that safe confession deal. And we have that safe confession. Somebody caught, you stole $500. This happened. I remember a scenario. Somebody stole $500. They got caught. All the numbers were there. They get confronted. And they say, I admit it, I stole $200. Oh, really? Yeah, I did. Well, of course you did. What about the add $300 more to what you, why would they only say $200? Because they felt safe. Felt like you can get by with that. That person who's driving, they just finished a six-pack of beer. They get in their car, they're flying. They get pulled over. Police says, you been drinking? And you say, I'm going to go the honest route. Yes, I have. I had a beer 17 hours ago. You lying dog! You just knocked out a six-pack 30 minutes ago and you jumped in your car like a dummy. And now you know you're going to get in trouble, and you think lying about your sin is going to get you out of trouble. Maybe you can fool the police. Maybe you can fool your mama and them. You can fool a lot of people. But you know who you can't fool? Right? You know who you can't fool? Yeah, you can't never fool God. I don't care how smart you think you are, how secret you think it is. Nobody knows. What a lie. Nobody knows. I love that. Nobody knows. Is God nobody? Because that's atheism. If you believe there is a God, then you got to understand He knows. And you might as well be honest. You might as well tell Him everything. Yeah, but what about that one thing? Tell Him that too. Again, you ain't got to tell me, them, or anybody. Get that to God. Get on your face, on your knees before God, and let Him know that you're a sinner. Like this woman, she had nothing and nowhere to hide. But let me tell you, look at verse 9. She was caught in a very act of adultery. Wide open, just probably either naked or close to naked. In a group of men in public. The epitome of just vulnerable, exposed, revealed, no secrets, nowhere to hide, nothing. But let me tell you what she gets. She gets a one-on-one audience with the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Verse 9 says this: there was no one left but Jesus, and He was standing there with the woman. At the end of the day, this person whose sin was revealed and exposed, not that she did it herself, but once it had been exposed, she was kind of like hands up, like surrender. She gets to have a meeting with Jesus the Savior. She gets to have a face-to-face meeting before she dies. That's going to be key. Next week in chapter 8, we're going to see where Jesus says at least twice, if not three times, this phrase: you will die in your sin. He says that in verse 21. He says it again in verse 24. That you will die in your sins. He says it twice. You will die in your sins. We're going to look at that next week. When we look further into those kind of sinners who put on a mask and try to hide their sin from God, He has a message. You will die in your sins. Do you suppose that God then will have mercy at the great judgment throne if you die in your sins, having neglected to be honest with Him while you were alive? He will not. No. You're going to face the man and have no advocate. You have an opportunity in this world to be honest about your sins while you're alive. Have that meeting with Jesus today. Have that meeting with Jesus while you can. You have an appointment with Him that you will make, that you cannot avoid, and you don't want to die in your sin. You want to be fully surrendered to God and say, I don't want there to be no secrets popping up on me in that day. Lord, take it. Take all of it. Give it to Him. Man, this lady went away. She had had a meeting with Jesus. You know what Jesus says to her? I do not condemn you. Now go your way and sin no more. We'll talk about that in a minute. But wow. It reminds me, there was a man who was praying. Jesus pointed out two men who were praying. Both were sinners. One was of the self-righteous type that we'll talk a little bit about today, and we'll talk more about next week. And he prayed standing up, face toward heaven, spiritually mature, saying, oh God, I am so glad that You've made me the righteous example of everything that's well, good, and holy. Oh, I tithe on my tithe. I give on my givings. I read my readings. I do everything. And thank You, Lord, that You didn't make me a sinner like that guy over there, that tax collector guy. And that tax collector guy, he was praying also. But he was down on his face, pounding his chest, and he said, Lord, have mercy on a sinner like me. And Jesus said this: that guy who asked for mercy and was honest about his sin went home justified. Now, you could talk to any pastor, preacher, student, theologian of the Bible, and you ask him what that word justified means. Ask him how powerful is that word justified in the New Testament. What does it mean he went away justified? It meant that his relationship with God had been restored, that his sin had been taken care of. He went home justified, whereas the man who was righteous in his own eyes, he carried his sin with him another day. Another day apart from God, tempting fate, moving toward that appointment at the great throne. That guy. We don't want to be that guy. Let's look at those guys. I call those guys self-righteous posers. I don't like them. I don't like it when I'm like that. When I get into my self-righteous, holier-than-thou phase that I can get into, like I imagine anybody could get into, it's nauseating. When it comes back to me, it's like, how can I, a sinner saved by grace, get into this like, stage? Who am I? I ain't nobody to be like that. But it can happen. It can happen to anybody. Y'all, one of the things that I praise God about is that when Jesus confronted me, I didn't have any religion to hide behind. It was like, you're a sinner. And I couldn't say stuff like, well, I read the Bible, went to VBS, had an uncle, blah, 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 ding, ding. I didn't have none of that junk. It was just, you're a sinner. And I was like, yep, you got me. Now what? You know, he's like, well, I died for sinners. You believe in me? You believe I rose from the dead? Will you receive me as your Lord? Yes! Boom, I got saved. Whew! But man, for folks who've been raised up in a system that says, don't let nobody see you sweat. Don't let nobody see you sin. Don't let nobody see you sad. Don't let anybody see you in a way that don't seem like you're just walking on clouds because you've been perfectly, you know, wonderfully saved and you act it and you don't ever sin and your sin don't stink and all those things. Woo! And we stay vague about it. People say, yeah, I'm still sinning. Yeah, but they ain't going to say, yeah, and tell you exactly what they did. They're going to stay pretty vague. Keep it vague. Keep it, you know, social. Keep it social. You know, they don't want to get honest with it. Not in church. Isn't that a shame that we can't be honest in church, that we got to pose? Isn't that sad? In a place where we come together because we are sinners who need a Savior, that there would be posers among us, that there'd be people who are pretending to be saved. You know, a lot of times, I saw this on a meme somewhere. They said, man, Christians need to be acting like they're saved. And somebody said, well, Christians ain't actors. You need to be saved. If you acting, who cares if this world thinks you're acting like you're saved? Stop being so much into you that you think about what everybody else thinks about you and just be saved. Let God do the saving. And everybody else do the judging if they want to, of how you live and what you do and what you say and how you move and what you wear. Right? Don't get into all that. Listen to these guys. The self-righteous posers. They get caught, man. Jesus catches them. They caught that woman in sin, but Jesus catches them. They're there, and Jesus says this to them. He who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. And verse 9 it says, being convicted by their conscience, they went out one by one, oldest even to the last. Think about this. What happened? Jesus actually gives them, they keep yawning, you know, they keep nagging at Jesus. Look at verse, I think it's verse 7. It says, so they continued asking him. They continued at him. In verse 6, we know that they brought this whole scenario up just to test Jesus. Verse 6 says, they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. They went and found a woman committing adultery. I'm not even sure how you go about doing it. You know, I don't know if they were creeping in windows. I don't know what they were doing. But they found somebody committing adultery in the very act. They only bring half the party, right? They only bring the woman. And they bring her out where she could possibly be killed. And were they doing it because they loved God and they loved righteousness? Were they doing it to keep there from being a sin of adultery in Israel? No. It says that they said this testing Jesus that they might accuse Jesus. So they take this woman as a pawn, throw her out there knowing she might get killed, and they're pretending like they're the righteous ones. They're pretending like they're righteous. This lady could have got killed because of their foolish game. And they're like, what do you think, Jesus? Huh? Like, what in the world? What if you go set somebody up so they get killed? What does that make you? A what? A killer. A murderer. But yet they're acting like they got their act together. And yet they brought this lady up for pretense. A pretense to accuse Jesus of something. She was just a pawn in their argument. A woman created in the image of God was a pawn in their argument to get at Jesus. And they thought they were righteous. How weird and twisted we could get. So here they are, planning on killing her. If they were really zealous for the law, they would have killed her already. They knew what the law said. It has to have two witnesses. You can't stone anybody in the old covenant without two witnesses. For the death penalty, needed to be two. And if you're going to stone somebody to death, those two witnesses would be the first ones to cast a stone. All right, go back and read it. You can't go killing nobody unless there's at least two witnesses. And the two witnesses have to throw the first stone. So Jesus calls them out. He says, if you ain't got no sin, throw that stone. And then he gave them permission. Now Jesus, I believe, knew what was going on. He knew what was going to happen. But he's like, he didn't tell them don't. He didn't say don't do that. He didn't say go away. He didn't say leave her alone. He exposed their sin. And how did they respond? He said, he's without sin, throw the first stone. And then it says they were convicted of their conscience. What were they convicted of? They're convicted of their own sin. And what did they do with their sin? What did they do? Look in the Word. What did they do? They went away. Convicted of their sin. Who does convicting? Who convicts people of sin? Who?
Holy Spirit.
Thank you, missionary Bert. The Holy Spirit of God convicts people of their sin. So the Holy Spirit was working in these men's lives to convict them of their sin. And what did they do with it? They walked away. Who did they walk away from? Who? They walked away from Jesus.
The one who could forgive them.
So these people who were pretending to be righteous, who undercame the conviction of their sin by the Holy Spirit, walk away from the Savior of the world. While the one caught by other people in an open act of sin, has nowhere to hide, is completely vulnerable, stays there, and has a meeting with Jesus. Which one would you want to be? Which one's going to go further with God? The poser? Or the one who's caught and stays and has a meeting with Jesus? Which one? The one that's exposed. Right. The one who's real, honest, the goodness. I got nowhere to hide. This is me. I'm a sinner. Help me, Lord. She was just at His mercy. You know where you need to be if you're going to be saved? And this is the truth for all of us. At His mercy. That's what it means to be saved. For everybody who's too proud to be at His mercy, just trust Him to cut through that pride too. Failure and pride. Failure and pride. The sin of the woman, failure. Failure to uphold the righteous standard of the law. The sin of these posers, pride. Won't acknowledge the conviction of their own sin to the Savior of the world. Failure and pride. Don't let those things send you to hell. Come to the Savior and say, help me, Lord, help me. Cut through my failure and my pride. We sing a song sometimes called 100 billion trillion zillions. And it says, with a word, 100 billion failures disappear. Come to the one who can redeem you. Man, these guys, being convicted of their conscience, they went away. They left. Not one stayed. You know, we make fun of those lepers. There's lepers, and I want to say it's in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. It might be in chapter 1. It might be in other Gospels also. But there's 10 lepers who are cleaned. Remember? Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. How many come back? One. 10%. Just one comes back and says, thank you for what you've done in my life. It's incredible. I can't believe it. I'm clean. Wow.
I don't know how many were in this crowd that got convicted in their conscience about sin, but it doesn't appear that any of them came back to Jesus to say, I'm no different than her. I'm a sinner. And I realized that when you said, he who is without sin, throw the first stone. Because it got all over me and I realized my sin was as big as anything. Instead, they stuffed it back down and just walked away. Don't be that group. Don't be that sinner. Be the real, honest, to goodness sinner. Now, both of them are bad. Sin is not good for us. God has something better for us, but man, we don't want to be in that group. All right, let's look at this, the tale of two churches. Now, we're extrapolating this idea, and I want you to think about the two ways that are seen here when it comes to dealing with sinners. First is the law-led church. Listen to this. In verse 4 and 5, this is what these guys say. They come up to Jesus and they say, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. Such should be stoned, or such should be killed, such should be punished. Do you see my smile? When I get into that mindset, I can't help but smile because there seems to be an awful weird joy in the mind of people who want to blame and catch other people in their sin. Look at what they're doing. Look at what I saw them do. There's like an evil glee. Like, ha ha! Look at! I can't, that was my best evil laugh. Ha ha! Not real good. I know I need some practice on my evil laugh. But there seems like, it's like that kid, and if you were that kid or if you are that kid, it's okay, you can be saved, no problems. You know that when the teacher has to leave to go potty, and it says, you write down the names of the ones misbehaving, and you're like, I'm going to do it. And they're like, Billy got out of his seat. Johnny burped. Lisa's just looking out like crazy eyes. You know what I'm saying? And you like this has this evil glee of writing everybody's name. There ain't nothing wrong with that when you're a kid. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to get on to any kids. I'm just saying this. Y'all, there are whole churches that I think feel an evil, wonderful glee of pointing out the sins of everybody else. When you're based and you're led in the law has no choice except for to point out wrong. That's all the law does. It's all it does. It doesn't develop you into righteousness. It doesn't make you spiritually grow. It just points out sin and wrong. And it's so weird that people can't walk into the church, whether they're the town idiot, the town drunk, the town whore, the town whoever, and they can't come into a church and be fully welcomed because people would look at them like, what are they doing here? Let me tell you what they're doing here. They've come to hear the gospel of life, and just because you can point out their mistakes doesn't make you a genius. Doesn't make you holy. Doesn't make you better than them. It makes you probably somebody who's trying to avoid all the junk in your life by pointing out somebody who just don't, you know, has more open junk than you. That was exactly the case for these people. The people who were going to kill that woman caught in adultery all had sin. None of them addressed their own sin. They all got an evil glee of pointing out somebody else's. Teacher, look at what we found. Now that sounds like Lord of the Ring, Gollum, my precious. It'll twist your mind. It'll get you always. Did I tell you about that weird phenomenon? There's a weird phenomenon. It don't matter wherever you have people, they're always going to set up a hierarchy. We're going to blame. If we're law-based at all, we're going to blame and have a hierarchy. It's like people who are alcoholics who are making fun of people who are crackheads. At least I ain't a crackhead. Okay. It's like people in jail, you know, you're like, I'm a robber. At least I'm not a this or I'm not a that. I'm not a... You're in the same jail, dog. You're in the same place eating the same food. Yeah, but at least I ain't like that. Okay, boss. Okay. Does that help you? Is that a nice blanket at night keep you warm? At least I'm not like them. June 2014, our country, I believe, and I don't mind saying it, made a big mistake about marriage, and the Supreme Court and all those things said gay marriage is cool and all that stuff. And I thought that was a mistake. But I'm not a Supreme Courter. I'm not, you know, I ain't got anything to do with all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you a phenomenon that happened. Heterosexual couples who were living together outside of marriage, like never before, started to approach me and ask me what I thought about that. Isn't it awful, they would say. Isn't it awful what they did in the Supreme Court about gay marriage? And they're looking at me like, would you look over at them, Pastor? Would you look over at them, see what they're doing? Do you see them, folks? And I'm looking at them like, what? Why? Why are you going to come and throw shade on them? That's their problem, man. Why are you coming to me telling me that? But I had a half a dozen folks who are living sexually sinful lives, but in the hierarchy, those other folks made them look better. You catch what I'm saying? It's like, don't be a sinner who's throwing shade on other sinners thinking it's going to bring you to the light. There's only one way to get to the light. We'll look at that here in a second. But there ain't but one way. Okay? There's no light that comes to you by throwing darkness and throwing darts and throwing stones at anybody else. We don't want to be that church. I want you to imagine this church that's led by Jesus. A woman walks in. Openly, everybody knows her sin. It's immediately known. And this is how she's greeted when Jesus speaks to her. Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She says, no, Lord. No one, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. Sin, go and sin no more. Oh, that every church, not just ours, not just the denomination, but every church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, how good it would be. Even just in Grenada, I believe things would just flip if every church in Grenada had this attitude. We are not here to condemn you, sister. We are not here to condemn you. We are not here to point out all your wrongs and all your flaws. Matter of fact, look around. Imagine a sinner, open sinner, coming to any church and saying, look around at everybody here. Do you see anyone who is going to condemn you here? And I pray for our church in particular that they would say, no one, Lord. No one's here to condemn me. And that they would have their meeting with Jesus. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Oh, that folks could walk into the family of God and feel like a part of the family. A functioning family. You know, a family the way it's supposed to be. I got to put that little caveat on there. I saw this meme the other day. It says, you know, since Thanksgiving is coming up, when all my family is going to judge me, can I just take all the guilt now so I can leave, you know, the rest of my life regular? You know, families are the source of so many weird hang-ups and hitches and hurts and, oh man, you know what I'm saying? But here's the point, that somebody could come in and be, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, Christ is the Savior, let's walk together. Let's walk together. Man, if you find a person committing adultery, would you pray for them? Or do you got to go, teacher, look it. Look what they're doing. Do you got to follow that hierarchy? Why not live in grace? Why not live in a grace-based? Why can't we do that with each other? Just be gracious towards each other. Imagine that church where anybody could walk in and not feel condemned or alienated as if they don't belong. Now, we think you go a long way because we still live in this culture where when people of different races come in, we look at them and sometimes they get cold looks or cold shoulders or this or that or act like, oh, what are they doing? Or this ain't their place. Well, those churches are, they're sinking anyway. Ain't one of those churches who are prejudiced based on race or doing anything for the Lord. I don't care what they think. You know what I'm saying? They're maybe they are. Maybe God's using them. Let me take that back. God can use anybody that way, but y'all, if they're not to that point where they're just saying a human being can come in here, how are they ever going to get to a point where sinful human beings can come in here? Y'all see how the one step leads to the next step? If you can't say that every human being, regardless of race or gender or any other thing, can come in this place, how will we ever suppose that we can be united even when we start finding out the sick, nasty, perverted fault that we carry inside our soul? If we can't handle the face issues and the skin issues, how would we ever face the sin issues? Does that make sense? How are we ever going to show that united front? How are we ever going to be that place where it's like, come on, I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you stepped in, what you smell like, Get in here. We have the gospel of life. Let that be the atmosphere of our churches. Of His church. His church. Everyone welcome. Man, that's the way we want to be. There's two types of sinners. I told you about two types of churches. The law led and Jesus led. We want to be the Jesus led church. Oh Lord, help us be the Jesus led church. And Jesus doesn't just condone people's sins. He didn't condemn the woman, but He also challenges her. He says, now go and sin no more. Now, I know a lot of people, because they try to defend Jesus and not let Him be somebody who is soft on sin, and they're like, see, that woman's supposed to go and never sin again. That's such baloney. Stop. He ain't never going to be able to go and sin no more. What you do is you go. And you strive at it. But when you fall, what happens? You come back to Jesus. Can I tell you something? Jesus took all my sin. Past, present, future. You have to fight. To get my sin, you're going to have to wrestle it out of the hands of Jesus Christ. He's got it. It's His now. He took it. It ain't mine no more. Because I had my meeting with Jesus already. Two types of sinners, two types of churches, but only one in the Savior. Verse 12. Look at verse 12. He says, I am the light of the world. You don't walk in the light by casting darkness on other people. You don't walk in the light by ignoring the fact that you have sin. You don't walk in the light any other way except for walking with Him. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall walk in the light of life. That is it. There is no other way. There's no other way to be in the light except for to walk with Him as He is in the light. You know, just walk with Him. Follow Him. When Jesus is gracious towards sinners, how should we be? If we're walking with Jesus in this context, and we find somebody in sin, how should we be? Let's be like Jesus. Not condemn them, but help them. Challenge them and walk with them and point out Jesus to them. Man, there's nobody like Jesus. But we can follow Him. We can walk in the light as He's in the light. We can point people to Him. What a great mission. What a great mission. All right, now here's the challenge for us today. Man, if you're here today and you've never been honest to God with your sin, if you've never just said, God, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I'm a sinner and I've tried to hide. I've tried to be the best person I could be, to have all, you know, to think positive thoughts. Thinking about the light is not the same as walking in the light. Hoping for the light, wishing there was light, you've got to come to Him. Confess your sin and let Him bring you in the light. Let Him do it. Maybe you're the person that got caught in adultery. Maybe you're the person that's got the big old sin on you and you need to be gracious to you. You're like, how do I do that? You come to Christ and let Him take care of your sin and stop whooping your own tail. I love that line of that song too. Man, I don't got the energy to maintain all these regrets anymore. I'm going to give them to Jesus. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to let Him light my path. Do it. Stop beating your own tail. Give your life to the Lord. Right now we're having an invitation. This is your time. If you need to give your life to the Lord, do it. If you need to say, Lord, I'm sorry because I've been a judgmental person. I've been less than gracious to myself and to others. Maybe you need to just say, I'm sorry, Lord. Maybe you need to say, just Lord, forgive me for being so not like Jesus, so much like the Pharisees. Whatever you got to do with the Lord. Right now is your time. You go ahead, give yourself to the Lord. You can't promise Him anything else, money or behavior or anything else. You have a choice today. If God's convicted your conscience of sin, you have a choice. Come and embrace the Savior or leave another day pushing it down, pretending like it's not there, not dealing with what He's doing. If He's convicted you in your heart of anything, don't walk out of this place. You ain't got to come up here. You can, but you don't got to come up here. But you need to deal with God. You need to deal with God. Does that make sense to y'all? All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to come before You and just say, oh, Lord, we've blown it. We're sinners. We're caught. And I'm going to be honest with You. I'm going to tell You everything. Help us, Lord, to lay it down that we might find peace with You, that we might really walk in the light with You. And we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time.
Come and ush. Father God, thank you for loving us. And as the ushers ush, Lord, we just thank you that we have something to give in return as a sign of worship. And Father, we love you. We're not trying to earn anything. We're not paying you off or bribing you. It's an opportunity for us to show that we trust you. And Lord, so take it as a sign of worship. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Y'all, let these songs that we sing get into your brain. Music is so, it's meant to be remembered, you know, and so get the Word of God in your brain, get the songs in your brain so you can, man, it's powerful. They reinforce the message of the Word in the sermon just like today. Thank y'all. Mr. Johnny reminded us to vote. I like that saying, says, if you don't vote, don't complain. You know, Lars Senior sent me a thing, said only 35% of registered voters vote. You know, so, hey, man, do it. I mean, God's the king of the world. He's going to take care of all this business. But in this country, we get the privilege to do it. You might as well do it. You know, do it. Vote. Pray. Pray for Janice Dre. She just lost her mama. Okay? Pray for Jackie Little and family, her mama. Had an aneurysm in her brain bust, and she's recovering, but it's slow. Pray for Nikki Newsom, whose daddy is on. He's still here. Yesterday, I got word that he only had hours or days, like a couple days, you know, to live. So pray for these folks of our church family who are going through it. And there's a lot more than what I mentioned. But, you know, just be mindful. You might be talking to somebody who just lost somebody, or who's losing somebody, who's in some kind of way. You know, let that add some grace to your talk, right? All right. And some urgency in your prayers. Thank you all for letting me be your pastor, and I love you all. Lord, bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready? Break!